I find that I'm
leaving.
What happened when Konstantin Kissin took on the Lotus Eaters? What happened when he started having a go at Carl Benjamin and Harry? What happened when he took on the woke right? All of these things and more coming up in this video. You are not going to want to miss this. Well, hello, everyone. This is a bit of an unscheduled video. And bear with me because I've had a cold, as you may be able to hear. So I'm a little bit croaky. But this is something I had to comment on while it was still fresh, as it were. And that is Konstantin Kissin's war on free speech. But what, AA? Surely Konstantin Kissin is a free speech warrior. Surely he believes in the marketplace of ideas, the free exchange, generating all of his arguments from first principles. Surely he would never try to shut anyone down. Well, unfortunately, that is not who Konstantin Kissin is, and nor is it who he's been over the past several years. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to go into a little bit of ancient history, and then I'll kind of show you some of the more recent things that he's been up to. I actually had Konstantin on the channel many years ago, back in April 2019, right at the very start of Trigonometry. That was they were small channel back then, just kind of coming onto the scene, as it were. And I had them on. I spoke to Konstantin and to the other one, Francis, is it? I think it's Francis. And we had a chat. I also met them at an event I spoke at, again, many years ago now, back in 2019. There was an event and I gave this talk. And they happened to be there, and I met them. And I have to be honest, my impressions, as I've mentioned in the past, were some people are interested in ideas, other people are at events like that to network, and they very much fell into that camp of being networkers. But, you know, fair enough, media types and all, you've got to expect a bit of that. Then, years later, well, this was just like 1 year later, I think in 2020, I made a video saying, why ever unsubscribe from Trigonometry, which it may be worth listening to a little bit of that now as a flavor for what was to come. This is 2024, October 24, when I'm recording this. This was all the way back in February 2020. And let's take a listen to this. So if you remember last year, there was a new channel that came onto YouTube called Trigonometry, and I invited the hosts on for a live stream to help promote their show. I also met them in real life, and they seemed nice enough chaps. Their whole idea is that they're for free speech, they're for honest and open conversations. But it turns out that they'll only have conversations with people who already agree with them, or people who are further to the left than they are. Like Andrew Doyle, for example, who seems to want some sort of alliance between left and right. No thanks. You see how this works? You start letting left-wingers into your movement, and then they start telling you what you can and cannot say? No thanks. Various members of the dissident right offered to explain exactly what their talking points were in the spirit of open and honest conversation. Now, I watched this conversation taking place. The people approached them in a calm and reasonable manner, and did not insult them in any single way, and all they got back was a pile of abuse and vitriol and then lies and smearing. Now, what did our brave and intrepid lads from Trigonometry, who are all for free speech, do? Rather than engage in an honest conversation or have a debate with any of these people, they slammed the door shut. They started blocking anybody who would complain about this. They started telling lies and smearing them, saying that they were trying to start a race war when nothing of the sort was mentioned at any time. And when I voiced my displeasure at this, they even blocked me. What a short memory some people have. So when push comes to shove, Trigonometry are not for an open and honest conversation. They are not for engaging with ideas in an intellectually open way.
when push comes to shove, what Trigonometry want is an echo chamber that they can gatekeep, platforming people on the center left while gatekeeping to people further to their right. And that is why I have unsubscribed from Trigonometry. It is why I recommend that you unsubscribe from Trigonometry and defund them. I think the time for grifters like this should come to an end in 2020.
So this video is actually coming after two absolute disasters for Konstantin on the PR front. The first is when he tried to coin this phrase, woke right, which I talked about recently on my James Lindsay video, who has also been trying to peddle this term. That backfired massively and, as I think, damaged his credibility. The second is when he made this video on October the 7th on the anniversary, saying, having listened to the arguments of both sides over the last year, I'm no longer on the fence about Israel's war, and here is why. I mean, this is one of the most dishonest bits of framing that anybody's ever seen. I don't need to point out the obvious. Konstantin was never on the fence on Israel. There was only one side he was on, and that is fair enough. But don't try to make out like you've been weighing up the arguments on either side. Come on. But anyway, that is not about that, and this is not about his attempt to get woke right over as a term. It actually started with this tweet by my buddy Carl Benjamin, who took a screen grab of something that Steve Law said. Steve Law says, Tories be like, our leader should be the African Alukemi Alufunto Adegoke Badenoch, which is Kemi Badenoch's real name. She shortens that to Kemi, but her full name is that. And Carl said, a few days ago, right-wing activist Steve Laws published this tweet. The tweet itself is not racist, but many would charge Laws himself with being racist, a charge he likely wouldn't deny. The responses, though, reveal the Conservative Party to be supported by leftists. Now, as you all know, friends, I am supporting Kemi Badenoch to be the Tory leader for my own reasons, but this is not about my personal views on the matter. This is simply pointing out that this is Kemi Badenoch's full name, and some people, like Steve Laws, don't think that, you know, somebody with that name should become the Prime Minister. Well, Konstantin then replied to Carl saying, and this is really what has started all controversy, was this reply from him. He says, he clearly is a racist, and he made a racist tweet. The right ought to be very careful about defining being a leftist as being against racism. What is more, it is strategically dumb, which of course most racists are. The simple fact of life, whether you like it or not, is that the only leader who can deliver genuinely right-wing policies on immigration is going to be an ethnic minority. That's just a fact, given where the country's media and institutional elites are. Being racist to and about the only people who can solve your problems is the height of stupidity. Well, there's a lot to take issue with here, but if we just take a step back, there's a certain degree of, I would say, arrogance in Konstantin's position here. Let's not forget that he is actually an outsider to this country. He came from Russia, as he's, you know, talked about many times. And yet he's taking it upon himself to tone police, to police the boundaries of what is and is not acceptable in quote-unquote right-wing discourse. Who appointed Konstantin Kissin as the prefect or the milk monitor for right-wing discourse in this country? Who asked for this person to be in that role? Who accepts his authority on this? Now, given the huge backlash against this tweet that I've seen all over my timeline in the past couple of days, not many people, it turns out. But it's kind of interesting that he is trying to play this role here. On top of that, there is also this other claim. It's quite a big claim. Only an ethnic minority can deport people now, or can restrict immigration. Since when has that been the case? I mean, you know, I want Kemi Badenoch to win as much as the next guy. But, you know, if Robert Jendrick got in, or if Keir Starmer, let's say, wanted to reduce immigration, which he said he was going to do, he wouldn't be able to do it because he's a white man. Since when? I mean, okay, things are bad, but they're not that bad. Like, on what planet is this a given that he's claiming this? So, I mean, in many ways, it shouldn't be too surprising. We will all remember, of course, that Konstantin, you know, did not push back on Bill Maher when he said this.
I mean, I remember being in England first time in the 80s, and it was very different.
Yeah.
Very different.
How so?
Well, first of all, London was like all white.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was.
You know, so can we just celebrate that victory that we made a place more diverse and not, you know, you never get a pat on the back.
No.
The people who like achieve, I feel like, in that area. There's only like, there's more to do. Of course there's more to do. But can we just get a little, hey, I think I read in Andrew Sullivan's column, like, London went from like 36% to like 86% people of color or something like that. No, maybe that's too hard, but something
it's majority
like a 50, yeah. Like a 50 yeah. point yeah. swing, 50 points yeah. in two generations, three generations. Mm. Okay, that's progress. I'm not a bad person to like clap for progress.
Now, I suppose we should not expect Konstantin to push back on that, because like Bill Maher, for some reason, the thing that he loathes more than anything else is the notion of white people, white British people, having their own sense of ethnic identity. He is perfectly happy for Israelis to have their own ethnic identity, as he pointed out in his various diatribes on that topic. And he is perfectly happy to allow the Tory party to play identity politics when it comes to appointing a minority like Kemi Badenoch into the highest office in the land. So these are tactical bits of identity politics that he is willing to support. But for some reason, he's always had a real, real problem when it comes to the notion of a white identity politics, to the extent where, famously, he actually started to tone police a victim of grooming gang rape in this clip here.
You to the Black Lives Matter thing as well. Mm. And this is the reason that we've opposed identity politics from the start, because once you start going down this rabbit hole of going, this is a special group, and this is a special group, and that's a special group, and that's a special... But these people, they're not special at all. In fact, they need... Then you get into trouble, because eventually, you know, Helen Dale, who we had on the show, you know, she said, I remember saying this in the 90s, you know, if you're going to have gay pride, at some point, someone's going to go, we need straight pride.
Straight pride, yeah.
And this is the problem with all of this. Yeah. And this is the far left that you talk about. That's where it all comes from, this ideology of getting everybody into their own little group, and now white people need to advocate for themselves. That's not, you know, you talk about history, not a healthy recipe.
No.
Not a healthy recipe. We need to go back to this idea that people are individuals, you know, and you can be racist against anyone, including white.
I mean, talk about the gall and cheek. The woman was crying about being a victim of rape, and he thought, oh, this is the time to give a moral lecture to this person about, you know, feeling any sort of ethnic solidarity with, you know, the people from her own homelands. But, you know, that's not allowed, according to Konstantin, unless you happen to be Israeli or Ukrainian. I mean, he was pretty up for that war as well. Or if you're Kemi Badenoch, you're allowed to do a bit of identity politics then. But, you know, all of that stuff is acceptable. But that's absolutely unacceptable. So anyway, Harry from the Lotus Eaters, Harry Robinson, said, the right needs to continually kick out people who personally offend milquetoast centrists until we eventually win somehow. This has never backfired before. So he correctly pointing out that Constantine is basically advocating the same strategy that has been losing for the past 80 years. Correct, astute, double thumbs up, Harry being based as per usual. To which Constantine replied, my God, how someone as intelligent as Karl employs someone who can't read, think, or take part in an actual conversation is beyond me. I look forward to the day you are inevitably fired for being retarded. I mean, so now Constantine in the middle, you know, this ballast, this war that he's decided to start is going badly. So now he starts trying to get Harry Robinson cancelled and fired from the Lotus Eaters. I mean...
Up yours, woke moralists. We'll see who cancels who.
I mean, this is SJW behavior 101. But given his history, and that's why I mentioned that stuff at the start, given his history with this sort of thing, not that surprising that he'd go down this route, is it? He reacted this way 5 years ago, and it's not a surprise to see him reacting like this again. A leopard does not change his spots. A snake may change his skin, but a leopard does not change his spots. And then I responded to him saying, while I support Kemi as becoming the new Tory leader, I cannot condone this. This is what Kemi is trying to stop, trying to get people cancelled for their opinions. X is the public square, the marketplace of ideas. I hope Constantine comes to see. Here he succumbed to the woke mind virus. So even within, now everybody knows that I am basically parodying the kind of Quillette, Jordan Peterson, anti-woke, you know, Elon Musk sort of rhetoric there, which Kissin is part of. He's part of that milieu. But even within the logic of their own stated views, what Constantine is doing here is, it's not just hypocritical, it's just kind of wrong. It's bad and wrong to try to get another man fired for his views. And what Harry said, let's face it, was not really that hardcore. Kissin has precisely two jobs. And I said this on Twitter, many, many people liked this tweet. I said, to prevent white consciousness rising in Britain is his first job. Why he takes it upon himself to have that role, I'll never know. But he is a self-appointed milk monitor, a self-appointed prefect, a kind of hall prefect, going up and down the hall. Simpkins, you stop there. You stop there, Simpkins. Is that white consciousness I see you perpetrating? No, that's wrong. That's racist. You're not allowed to do that. That's one of the roles he's given himself. And the other role he's given himself is to gin up support for hardcore Israeli ethno-nationalism in Britain. It's funny that there are so many of these characters around who appoint themselves to these roles. Start to notice a pattern sometimes. Why is it? Who are these milk monitors and who asked them to be here? And why are they trying to control our discourse? How do we assess in a value-free and objective way how well Kissin has performed this function? Marks out of 10, please. And if you're watching this video, you can give me marks out of 10 in the show notes, be respectful, of course, on how Kissin has done. Because I think, it in many ways, he has overplayed his hand here. He doesn't quite grasp that he is here as a kind of guest, right? He is not, I mean, okay, he's got this big show trigonometry as a certain amount of clout. I think they've got over a million subscribers now, but that does not give him carte blanche to dictate to everybody else how they, you know, how they're meant to think or how they're meant to behave, especially not as he's coming basically as an outsider to this situation. So there's a lot of cheek and gall and brazen kind of, you know, what do they call it? Chutzpah, I think they call it, in this. And it's rubbing people up the wrong way, I think. So, you know, if this is what kissing is trying to do, my value-free analysis would be sometimes you've got to box a bit more clever, because his recent tactics, I mean, the Israel video was terrible. The woke right video was terrible. And this latest episode has basically turned a lot of people against him. I had a few messages from people saying like, oh, yeah, OK, I can see what you were saying now. You know, silly of me not to have seen it all that time ago. But that's how it goes, I guess. All right. I think that'll do. See you next time, friends. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.